And I want to focus today. The title I gave was The Truth Teller. That is the title I gave. And you might wonder, who is the truth teller? The truth teller is Jesus Christ. And many times we do not realize that, and especially what, as we read the chapter here, you will see what I mean. It's going to be zeroed in on Sabbath. And that's where we begin in Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered, "Have you ever read what David did when he had his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath.' On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Get up and stand in front of everyone.' So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, 'I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?' He looked around at them all and then said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He did so, and his hands were completely restored." You know, it is interesting how Jesus is the truth teller. It'll come out as we go about. One of the things as I was preparing for that, I came across something. Most of us would have heard Vernon McGee. He's a preacher who's on the radio for a long time, and he passed away. He tells this story of about a man who wanted to argue about the Sabbath. The man said, "I give you $100 if you will show me where the Sabbath day has been changed." McGee answered, "I don't think it has been changed. Saturday is Saturday. It is the seventh day of the week, and it is the Sabbath day. I realize our calendar has been adjusted and can be off a few days, but we don't even consider that point. The seventh day is still Saturday, and it is still the Sabbath day." He got a gleam in his eye and said, "Then why don't you keep the Sabbath day if it has not been changed? McGee answered, "The day has not changed, but I have changed. I have been given a new nature. I am joined to Christ. I am a part of a new creation. We celebrate the first day because that is the day he arose from the grave. That is what it means that the ordinances have been nailed to the cross." You know, sometimes we don't understand, so we want to argue. Just because we don't know something, we have this habit of arguing about it. And I read something to do with the Sabbath again. One man challenged another to an all-day wood chopping contest. The challenger worked very hard, stopping only for a brief lunch break. The other man had a leisurely lunch and took several breaks during the day. At the end of the day, they both looked at what they have accomplished. And one of them said, "I don't get it." He said, "Every time I checked, you were taking a rest, and yet you chopped more wood than I did." "But you didn't notice," said the other man, "that I was sharpening my axe when I sat down to rest." You know, sometimes we argue about Sunday being the day of rest, the day this, you cannot do that. And I know that at one time in our house, it was that way. My mom and dad would say, "Sunday, we're not going to do anything. It's a family time." Yes, it is. It's good. There's nothing wrong with it. Because the Word of God says that we should honor the Sabbath. Fourth commandment in the Ten Commandments is what? It's to do with Sabbath. Let's read that in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. You know, as you see that, you will see, wow. It says, "Remember the Sabbath, the day, by keeping it holy." It says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And it is interesting how many times the word Sabbath occurs in the Bible. It occurs 151 times throughout the Bible. It must be pretty important if Jesus and the Spirit of God wanted us to know. It is found 94 times in the Old Testament and 57 times in the New Testament. But the fact of the matter is, the Jewish people, they said Sabbath is the day we need to take rest. But the Pharisees and the rabbis and the people, you know what they did? They wrote a lot of things together and said, this is what a Sabbath means. It says, 6 days you will work and the seventh day. It is to be honored. So they had rules and regulations for the Sabbath. And I tell you, it's interesting, just for that, in the Old Testament, tradition-wise, they had 39 categories of things you cannot do on a Sunday. You know what? God said, make it holy. That, as you read that, it was one sentence. But what did man do? He took it and wrote 39 different articles on Sabbath and what it means for them. Why am I talking about all those things? It's because Sabbath for the Jewish people was so important. If you follow those 39 categories, only in the Sabbath, you get saved. That was their thinking. It was by your works, you can get saved. But God did not mean that way. What did you read in the Genesis account of his seventh day? What did he do? He rested. He rested. He didn't say, I'm going to follow all these 39 articles which follows my Sabbath day. But man is so good at that. And as I was reading those kind of things, you know, I said, wow, this is amazing. And so in Luke chapter 6, we are talking about the Sabbath. Jesus, the truth teller, he says, you guys are all out of whack with what it means. You have forgotten why it was made. You have ordinances of how to follow it. Let me give me an example of, you know, in the Talmud, there are 24 chapters on Sabbath law required, 24 chapters. One rabbi says the Talmud spent 2.5 years in the study of one of those 24, trying to figure out all its ramifications, just one of them. They studied for 2.5 years how to come up with laws. But that's not what God meant when he said, keep the Sabbath, keep it holy. Take a rest on Sabbath. Simple as that. But man decided, I want to put all these things together so that, why? Because they believed in power. This is a way they can control people. This is the way, if somebody does something, guess what you do? You run back to the synagogue and say, oh, Shaker messed up. And we need to find something to put Shaker in his place. Because he did not follow the law, which God put. But God didn't put them all. Man wrote these other things so that it would be beneficial to the priest, to the Pharisee, for the Sadducees. God said, keep it holy. Simple. God always does things which we can't do. But you know what? Man thinks, how could I keep people under my control? How do I make this law work for me? And it is just an example. I'll tell you what. On the Sabbath, you could travel no more than 3,000 feet from home. That's how far you can go. Unless on Friday before the Sabbath, you had planted food at the 300-foot point, then you could go another 3,000 more. If you had not done it the day before, you cannot go more than the 3,000. Isn't it so ridiculous to do even think about that? But that's the way they thought. You could lift up certain things and put down certain things only from certain places to another place. And that's work. So you can do it. And then it goes on to say, you could lift, there were all kinds of food forbidden on the Sabbath. I wanted to list those things, but I didn't want to because it was almost 4 pages of it. What you can eat on a Sunday. You know, what they were more intention was to make man, the public, the people who came to worship, to follow the law. And that's what Jesus is addressing here in Luke chapter 1. And the first few verses. Well, let's, before we get there, why do you think they were picking on Jesus? You know what? They were picking on Jesus because he was more listened to than the rest of the people at that time. They were picking on Jesus because he was more had more power over the people than the Pharisee or the priest. I will give you references. You can go and look back at home. Again, there are many, but I'll give you three. It's found in Luke chapter 4, verse 15. And Luke chapter 5, verse 17. And Luke chapter 5, 26. That's just in three chapters in the Gospel of Luke. The reason was he was too famous. People followed him more than the synagogue people, what they were setting up to. Here, he is telling the truth of the matter is you worship God and God's take care of you. And all throughout the life of Jesus, what was this talk about? He said, I have come to give you relief. I want you to know your sins are forgiven. And that's what it was talking about in Luke chapter 6 and the verses which we just read. One of the guys walks in and these Pharisees are standing at the back of the church and watching, what is he going to do today? And this man comes in with a shriveled hand. And Jesus is going to heal him. But immediately, what's going on at the back? Murmur. Which is going on and saying, why is he doing that? And see, anticipated. Jesus anticipated that what they were thinking. So in verse 22, he says, why are you thinking of these kinds of things? Because that's not what you want to do. It's amazing when you read on chapter 6 and verse 8, but Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, get up and stand in front of everyone. So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil? He's straightforward. He straight away says, what is true? Do you want this man to walk around in his rest of his life with a shriveled hand or healed? You tell me the answer. You know what that happened there? That was dead silence. Nobody's going to say nothing. If you say one, he's going to get you. If you say something else, he's going to get you. But you know what? Jesus is not about gotcha. He wants to tell you the truth. That is, you follow God on the Sabbath. That day is holy because I want you to take rest. I want you to concentrate on thinking about God. I tell you, in our home, on a Sunday, we went to church, we came home, Mom would have a psalm prepared for us so that we have to memorize that psalm before dinner. You know what? I did not understand that part of it. I murmured and says, man, Mom, every Sunday I got to learn a new psalm. But later on, when I went to college, I realized what she was doing. She wanted us to get rid of us to a quiet place so that she can cook dinner for us. All right. You know what I mean? There was a reason why, and it's the same thing. God wanted us to worship him, to give thanks to him, to praise him. And that's the reason he said, Sunday is a good day for you to take rest and concentrate what I did for you the last week. How do they take care of you? Simple things. Meet with your kids. Meet with your mom and dad. And enjoy them. It's a time you can ask questions. It's a time you have one-on-one time with your family. Whereas the Pharisees, they were always looking away to have control over the people and make them understand that they pay tithes. You know what it was? They had to pay certain things to rectify the faults they made. So it was bringing in more money into the treasury of theirs, which they could spend. So guess what you do? Put all these laws. Oh, Shaker didn't do this today. He's got a long list. But God says, you know what? He goes on to the next part of it, which we just read. He says, you think that following the Sabbath is the way to go. I want you to rethink that. Because in chapter 5, he talks about it. In chapter 5, verses 36 through 39, let me read this to you. He told them this parable. No one tears a piece out of a raw garment to patch an old one. Otherwise, they will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No new wine must be poured into the new wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new, for they say the old is better. What is he trying to say? He said, you know what? You have to have a mind changed. Start rethinking. In the Old Testament, the old traditions were necessary. But now I have come. I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I am the one who lives in grace. And your responsibility is to forget. If you put the old one in the new thing, what happens? It'll burst forth and it'll destroy everything. So you have to completely rethink what you're being taught. That's what he was teaching those people, the Pharisees, in front of them. All the Pharisees are trying to do to you is what? They want to keep you under their control. But you are to be under God's control. Yeah. Simple as that. So whenever Jesus is talking, he tells the truth and saying, you have to change not because. Because I created you in my image. I know what you are. Why don't you come back to me? That is what he's trying to tell you. You don't have to follow all these rules and guidelines to be what you are not created to be. I tell you what, the other day I was with someone and we were talking about something and they said, I am not worthy, he said. And he also said, I don't think I measure up to something. I said, look in the mirror. He said, what do you mean, Shaker? Look in the mirror. There is somebody staring at you. It's you. Who created that you? God in his image. And now you're putting down yourself. What are you doing? You're putting down what God created you to be. He says, I've never thought about it that way, Shaker. Every time you say something belittling yourself, you are actually saying, God didn't make me right. We need to be careful. Because that's what Jesus is trying to tell them. My Father created you wonderful. in Psalm, what does he say? I created you in your mother's womb. I knit you together. I know who you are. You don't have to follow rules and regulations. Just follow me. Isn't it so simple? Isn't it so wonderful? That's the God we serve. I have a lot more things to say, but I'm not going to because his time is running out on me. But that's okay. That's usual for me. But at the same time, I want to share with you. It's good what we heard from the Bible. We also hear in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. I want you to turn there. Hebrews chapter 4 Let me go there. 4:16. This is what it says. Let us then approach God's throne of what? Grace. Let's turn where? To the grace of God and his confidence. So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That's what Jesus is trying to tell us. You know what? Grace trumps everything. Amen. You need to know that. You don't have to follow those laws. That's the teaching you and I are being taught by Paul. The Holy Spirit was speaking through that. You know what? As I read that, there are several places in the New Testament which talks about it. As I said, if you go back and start tracing the word grace and grace, you will find so many references of why it is so many times mentioned about grace and mercy. Because that's more important than following laws of man. It's sad. As I was thinking about that, I was thinking about how some of the churches in America want to keep you in line. They tell you, you got to follow these things. If you are a Baptist, I'm a Baptist, I'll tell you. And you know what? You can do these things, but you do this. This has come from the Catholic version. Or this comes from the Methodist version. Did God create any of those religions?
All right. Honestly.
I don't think so. And I know so. The only thing he says is, I give you grace. I give you mercy. Follow that and you will live long and eternity is yours. I think I like that simple part. I love that simple part because I don't have to worry about what I do and what I don't do. And we have this conversation at home, and my wife reminds me several times of those things. There are rules, and there is shaker. Because you know what? God gives me grace through his word. He has mercy for me. And that's what I want to follow. That's what I want to follow. I don't want to make, I'm not saying rules are bad. I don't want you to go back and say, I'm not going to follow the government stuff which they've got following me. I'm not going to pay the IRS. No. If I don't stop at the red light, guess what I'm going to do? So we do need some of those things, and we should use God-given wisdom and follow them. Because in his mercy, he was telling the Pharisees, you know what? You guys forgot what you were given. You were free to live. I created you for my glory. I can talk for a long time on just on the word glory, because as you read through it in Revelation, you'll come across that in heaven there is no light, but it always talks about the brightness. Where does it come from? It comes from each one of you. You are the grace. You outshine in heaven. He doesn't need a sun or a moon. He needs people who are Christians, who follow Jesus Christ, so that you shine. Your face is going to be so shiny, it's going to be brilliant. Better than the sunshine just outside. That's us. That's you. I praise God. And Jesus is telling the people, Pharisees are here, and he didn't tell them straight up to the face, but he's telling them, don't you understand? You should know the scriptures better. Because these very people, they came and said, why are these disciples picking up those rice beads from the field? And he says, who is he? I am the King of the Sabbath, the Lord of the Sabbath. I created it. And you expect me to follow that? I am God. You follow me. You don't even know your own scriptures. You know what? As I said to you before, a lot of churches have a problem. If somebody does something, they want to put this one there and that one there and things like that. There is no forgiveness. We were just talking about that. You know what? We want to do something, there'll be in a church people function. You know what? There'll be 17 people criticizing you. And we are all Christians, aren't we? Our important thing is to praise God, worship God, be holy for him. That's all that matters. We should be able to forgive each other. We should be able to say, you know what? I have made the same mistakes before. I know. And I have a competition with Paul, the writer. He says he is the number one person of sinners. And I said to him, no, 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 not Paul, I am. If we accept we are sinners saved by grace, we would not have all the problems we have in our churches. We would accept them because they are my brother, they are my sister, they are my mom, they are my father, they are my children. How could I fight with my family? It transforms you. Let's go to the truth teller. There is no compatibility between a system of self-righteousness, spiritual pride, merit, and works of whatever name, and the true gospel of repentance, humility, grace, and faith. But for the sake of the glory of God and for the sake of the eternal souls of men, we need to speak the truth. And that truth is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, what a privilege it is to get into the Word of God and know that you are gracious, loving, merciful to save a sinner like me. But you still call me my son, my daughter. I am privileged to be your child. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.